Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. My name is Adam Homey. I'm your host, and I'm so excited by your wise decision to join us today. As the name says, our listeners are business creators, and they fall into one or more of several different categories. We have our entrepreneurs, small business owners, and local business owners, marketing and business coaches, folks who help others build their businesses, and of course we have the do-it-yourselfers who love to have your own hands on the levers as you handle your own marketing to grow your business. If you are one or more of the above, please take a moment, explore our episodes, and discover how our experts can help you win at the game of business and marketing at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. Also, be sure to check us out on iTunes. Just do a search for Business Creators Radio Show. Every week, we update with a fresh new episode, and every five-star rating is greatly appreciated and helps us help more business creators just like you. Now, today's episode is going to be very unique. You hear every so often about the actor going behind the camera and becoming the director. Well, in today's case, we're going to have the director coming out from behind the camera and becoming the actor. What this means is today we are going to interview none other than Tracy Osborne, who generally handles all the logistics and all the planning for the Business Creators Radio Show, helping me deliver my brilliance to the audience. And what Tracy's going to share with us today has to do with telesummits, these wicked things called telesummits. And everybody says telesummits are dead, telesummits are passe, telesummits are hard, nobody does telesummits anymore, yet I myself am constantly being invited to participate in telesummits. In fact, I have three on my docket just right now. Everybody seems to be doing telesummits. They're very popular. They're one of those things I don't think are ever going to really quite go away. And why should they? Because they're such an incredible marketing tool that builds connections. It really helps business creators win as a game of business and marketing. So just to tell you a little bit about Tracy, she is an expert project manager and virtual assistant who assists high-achieving entrepreneurs. If this were a video broadcast, you'd see me pointing two thumbs at myself, in surpassing their goals by managing the behind-the-scenes operations. By removing the stress of daily operations, Tracy allows her clients the focus and freedom to do whatever it is they do best, thus resulting in heightened profit and growth, which I can testify has been very much the case in my nearly 2 years of working with Tracy. So, Tracy, I know we've already spoken 17 times today alone, but how you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great.
It's been almost 2 years. Holy cow, time flies.
I know, time seriously flies. You came on board with us right before we relocated the company and me to Las Vegas, and that's going on 2 years itself, because I'm already halfway through my second lease, which is how I know it's been about a year and a half. So time really is flying here, and no better way than to celebrate that by having you on the Business Creators Radio Show today. So what I'd like to do for our listeners, as you know well from being the producer of the Business Creators Radio Show, is in addition to reading off the official bio, we like to give our guests, expert, the opportunity to share in their own words what it was that brought them to where they are today. So why don't you go ahead and tell us your story of what brought you to the point of what you're doing today.
Oh, wow. So my story started almost 8 years ago when I was the vice president of a finance company and working, you know, easily 80-100 hours a week between commuting. I live outside Atlanta, so it's hour and a half on a good day, 2 to 3 hours commute on a bad day. And it got to the point where I had young kids at home, and I was gone before they were up. I was home after they went to bed, and I never got to see them. And I was talking to a friend of mine who was a business coach and was complaining to her about these long hours and everything. And she said, you know, you love to help people. That's your passion. Why don't you take your skills and become a virtual assistant? And this is the second time she had mentioned that to me. And this was way back when nobody knew what a virtual assistant was. And we got to talking about it a little bit more. And I went home. This was on a Saturday in November. And I went home that weekend. And by Monday, my website was up and my business was born. And um, I talked to a few key networking players that I knew had big mouths, and just, you know, kind of started spreading the word. And within a couple of months, I was able to actually quit my job, and I've been doing this ever since.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you got a website up in like 2 days?
I didn't. It was awful. It was the most horrible website. I think I built it through GoDaddy. The name of the company in the beginning was Your Virtual Round 2. I mean, everything about it was just horrible. But I did it all by myself, not knowing what in the world I was doing. And, you know, I've learned a lot over the last 8 years, let me tell you.
Right. The difference between you and so many others, and the reason why you are in the first division of our business creators, is because you just took it upon yourself and did it. It didn't matter that the name of the company maybe wasn't right. Didn't matter that the website wasn't maybe right. I mean, I fortunately am not using most of the URLs I used when I first started in business.
Right.
Therefore, that throws up at least one barrier to finding out what my brand used to look like. It's not so clean and crisp as it is now. Oh my goodness! I confess, my very first company website was based on code that I borrowed from a porn site, because that's the only thing I could find that had code that I could read and understand. Right? Knew if I delete the, well, shall we say, pictures and replace that with the text, and then change the background color and put a different logo in and build 5 pages and copy the CSS file and everything else, that I could get away with it. It was ugly.
That's hysterical.
Oh, it was ugly. But that's okay.
I found one of my old business cards the other day, and I was like, holy cow, what was I thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my first business cards had my company name spelled wrong, and I had already given out a couple hundred of them before anybody pointed it out to me. Because the thing was, is there were 2 S's in a row inside the company name at the time, and I had typed 3.
Well, mine has 3 now, so imagine that one.
Yes, yes, I'm aware of your domain error, which, you know, we'll share, and sometimes I have to remember to type 3 S's when I'm looking you up on the web myself. Now, here in the Business Creators Radio Show, Tracy, as you know, we provide the tools, techniques, and strategies to help entrepreneurs quickly grow their businesses. And a lot of our listeners tell me they have everything they need to implement anything that any of our guest experts recommend they do right now, except for time and money. This is the question we ask every expert who appears on our show, not only because of the variety of different answers, but also the variety of ways the question is interpreted. So how does time and money impact what you're going to share with us today?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's going to greatly impact you, because putting together a telecement takes a lot of time, and
right.
It takes money. So you're definitely going to need both if you want to put together a successful telecement.
Right. Should we be frightened of how much time and money it's going to take?
If you're going to do it by yourself, absolutely.
Why? Okay, I know we're going to be transitioning to the main content in here in just a second, but if you could tell me a little bit about this and just develop it a little bit further,
sure.
Because I don't want our listeners to say, well, holy heck, I'm not doing this telesummit business if it's going to be this much work. I want them to start thinking about already the possibilities and how this could actually be something they could do very effectively and very efficiently, because doing something effectively and doing something efficiently is not always the same as doing something quickly or doing something really fast and on the cheap. So if you could develop that a little bit further, just some of the things we need to be looking for and some of the things we need to be aware of before we take this headfirst dive into telesummits.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the biggest things you need to make sure you have is plenty of time. And you know, this is I'm going to get into this a lot more as we get into it. But
right.
And I'm going to say it repeatedly. You've got to have time. You've got to have time. I estimate, just, you know, based on all the telesummits that I've done in the past, it takes just my team alone, and I have a team of 8 right now,
right.
It takes us about 50 to 60 hours on the back end. And that doesn't include what the host has to do to prepare for the interviews, do the interviews, help find the speakers, you know, and if they're writing their own copy and things like that. So if you're going to do a telesummit and you're going to do it by yourself, number one, I don't recommend doing it by yourself, but I'll talk more about that later. You can definitely plan on needing it between 50 to 100 hours to put this sucker together if you're doing everything all by yourself.
Right. Well, what are some of the things that you see that could possibly make it take 50 to to 60 hours. Just to give you a point of reference, I know that whenever I'm planning a webinar for myself, that between creating the presentation, having the webinar software set up and plugged into a list and writing all the reminders and all the follow-ups, we are seriously getting into a bit of time and a bit of money leveraged in order to do it effectively and not haphazardly. And when you're doing a telesummit, because we're talking about taking multiple people's brands in hand, you can't really kind of do that in a slipshod manner. You really need to do it the right way. So where do you think you know, some of the biggest pieces of this time and money are spent?
The biggest chunk of time is on your website. You want to have a very professional but, you know, user-friendly looking website. So most of the time is in setting up the all the different web pages and also writing the copy.
Right. So it's the web page and the copy. See, I would have halfway guessed that because, doing group events where you have multiple presenters and multiple information segments that need to be placed into a web page coming from different people, I can imagine just the back and forth to get that data and to edit it to get it to a point where everything looks consistent on the web page. Because you have nine experts on your telesummit. Even if they have their bios and their topics and their bullet points and everything ready to go, I can still see where you're going to have to edit some things so that one person doesn't outshine everybody else and so that there's a consistency in the format of all those things. And then you're basically getting into copy editing. I've seen this before.
Yeah. I'd be happy with nine on a telesummit. I don't think I've ever done that one that small. Most of the ones I do are usually 15 to 20 speakers. So imagine that.
Yeah, so we're talking about a telesummit. This is something, if I'm understanding it correctly, this could be one of the biggest marketing initiatives of your entire quarter, and it could also pay off for you, so it's worth that time and investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I like this so far, so you've restored my faith in telesummits. Not that I had any, doubt in them whatsoever, because they've always been extremely good to me. Now, let's take a step back here. What exactly is a telesummit? Because you see phrases like, or terms like teleseminar, webinar, Google Hangout, webcast, podcast, telesummit, webisummit, live stream events. I mean, all these things that they tend to overlap sometimes, and it leads to some confusion on the market in terms of what each is. But just so that we can clearly define our terms and we know exactly what we're talking about here, tell us what you mean by telesummit.
So a telesummit is it's a series of speakers, whereas, you know, a teleseminar or a webinar, that's a one-time thing. You may have one or two people on the call, but it's a one-off thing. You know, one hour, you're done. A telesummit goes for several days. I've seen them done a million different ways, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, it could be 2-3 days. It could be 21 days. You could have, you know, 4 or 5 speakers a day, or you could have one speaker a day, however it's set up. But a summit is just that. It's a summit. It is a panel of experts coming together to give you the best information they can on whatever it is that topic is that they're talking about.
Right. And when you said to me a few minutes ago that if you had just 9 experts or 9 guests on a telesummit, that would probably be the smallest one you ever did. I mean, we're talking about numbers of 15 and 20. Another thing we're talking about is the possibility of having 3 or 4 sessions per day.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a lot. I mean, just in terms of autoresponder reminders alone for the people who registered, that's a lot of work just putting all that together, even if you're copy-pasting and editing each one.
Yeah. It is. It's a lot of work. But, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's total chaos when you're actually doing this. And why it's one of my favorite things to do, I don't know. But I absolutely love putting together telesummits. But you take all this chaos, and at the end, you've got this absolutely beautiful presentation that is helping people in whatever area it is that the host is talking about. And maybe that's why I like it. I like taking that chaos and seeing the beautiful package at the end. And you have this product that, you know, reaches so many people on so many levels, you know, because depending on, you know, regardless of what you're talking about, it's going to affect people on different levels, depending on where they are in their life and on their journeys. So and it's something they can listen to over and over again and get new information. It's kind of like when you read a book and you get one thing out of it, and you reread that book and you're like, wow, I don't even remember this section here because you weren't ready to hear that section. You know, having a telesummit is kind of the same way. They can listen to it again and again and again and get new information.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I think that that is very important for people to remember, especially if it starts to feel like you have 15 or 20 guests on your telesummit, and it seems like some of them are starting to say things that are very similar or overlap. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I have seen myself telesummits flounder because so much energy and emphasis was put on trying to make sure that the people who were invited to the telesummit were so completely different market-wise from each other. And in what a small world this is today, that's just not possible.
Right.
I know full well when I get interviewed on a telesummit myself that there's going to be somebody there who's going to overlap at least a part of my presentation. I don't even be bothered by it or look for it. I just look for a way to differentiate myself so that people remember my message and remember something memorable they can apply to their day-to-day work.
Exactly.
Right. So tell us a little bit, you know, what's the purpose behind hosting a telesummit? Why are we getting involved with 15 experts and websites and 300 autoresponders and editing 20 MP3 files? Why are we doing this?
You mean aside from mass chaos and being a masochist?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to say. You said mass chaos and the word masochist kind of popped into my mind like there was an intentional phonological ambiguity there.
Yeah. I mean, I make it sound scary, but really, if you know what you're doing, it's really not that scary.
Sure.
So, you know, why do a telesummit? There's lots of reasons. Number one, it's an amazing list builder.
True.
You know, one of the ones that I just did recently that I actually thought would flop, I really did, just because of her topic, was one of the best I've ever done. She had over 3,000 people on her list just from this telesummit. I was shocked. You know, it lets you live your passion. You're able to help others change their lives by bringing them the experts that they need, you know, to give them information for whatever area that they're talking about. You can create an income stream because you're going to sell your replays, and you can continue to sell the replays even after the summit is over. So you've got a product there. It helps position yourself as an expert in your industry. And, you know, it could help you land bigger and better things. One of the hosts of a telesummit that I just did recently, she was approached by a natural makeup company to be their brand ambassador just because she did her telesummit.
Right.
So, you know, it opens the door to a lot more things because all of a sudden people start knowing who you are.
Right. To me, it sounds like for similar valid reasons, you'd want to do something like host an awesome online radio show like the Business Creators Radio Show or have
Absolutely.
A podcast. Because you need to think a little bit beyond simply the issues involved with getting the thing hosted and getting the things promoted and what it's going to do for your list and what it could potentially immediately do for your bank account. You need to think about all the new relationships it's going to create and all the new opportunities that are going to be presenting themselves before you. So now what I'd like to do is if you could sort of demystify for us what goes on behind the scenes of a telesummit. In other words, what is happening back there that is so masochistically chaotic that takes 50 to 60 hours, but yet on the front end, it looks so smooth and so seamless to the person attending?
Well, you've got to find your speakers. And that in itself is a difficult task right there. So you've got to find your speakers. You've got to get them on board. You have to gather all their information. And, you know, depending on the genre that you're talking about, a lot of these speakers, they may not have websites, or if they do have websites, they're crappy websites. They don't have opt-in pages. They don't know what an opt-in page is.
Right.
They, you know, ask them for a bonus gift, and they're like, what? So you've got to deal with all that and get them educated and help them get their bonus gifts to you. You've got to start getting the copy. You know, the copy is one of the biggest things. So you've got to get the copy for your sales page. You've got to get a copy for your opt-in page. You've got to get the copy for the replay pages. So there's lots of copy, you know, all the emails. There's lots of writing that has to be done.
Right.
The website itself, like I said, takes a ton of work because there's your opt-in page, which goes to your sales page. which goes to, you have your free replay page. So people who don't want to buy, and they can only listen to the replays for 24 hours, you have to build those pages. The ones who do purchase, if you have multiple levels of purchasing, you have to build those pages.
Right.
You've got to set up all the calls in your Instant Teleseminar, whatever your bridge line is that you're going to use.
Right.
I always recommend pre-recording your interviews.
I was just going to say, yes.
In the old days, we used to do it live, and if a speaker was sick or you had technical problems or something like that, you know, it just really kind of screwed up the whole thing. So I recommend pre-recording, and that way they come to you. You've got to edit your audio. If you're going to have intro and outro music, you've got to put that in there.
Right.
Get it up on Amazon or wherever you're going to host that audio afterwards so that you can get it on your different pages. And you've got to get your promo stuff written. You've got to get your promo stuff to your speakers. You've got to get the affiliate links to your speakers. You've got to set up the shopping cart and the email reminders and Facebook ads and all your social media promos. So there's a ton of moving pieces and parts that goes on behind the scenes. You've got to, you know, your graphic design, because you want a really pretty looking website. So you've got to get your killer header created and any other graphics that you're going to have on there. So
Right. Which to me sounds like, you know, the header piece sounds like relatively the simplest part. So yeah, as I well knew, there are a lot of moving parts to go to this to create the feeling that the Telesummit is a truly seamless marketing activity. And the beauty is in the end, it does look like one. But yeah, there are a lot of things we need to be cognizant of as we go into this. And I will reinforce that you definitely want to be pre-recording all these sessions, because any number of things can come up. I mean, and when you're trying to put 15 or 20 people all together all at once, you never know what you could run into at any given time. I mean, you run enough risks just doing one teleseminar with one guest expert. I mean, they could lose power for a week because they live in the Northeast and they get another blizzard, or they could end up in the hospital, which happened on one of my teleseminar guests once.
Right.
We had to reschedule. And, you know, just these experiences have taught me, whenever possible, pre-record, because you're just going to get a much better result. And also, I do recommend myself, unless you know of any other systems, what I like about using Instant Teleseminar for these is it allows you to upload it and have it play at a certain time as if it's live. I haven't seen any other teleseminar service really do that.
No, and I totally recommend Instant Teleseminar. That's one of my favorite bridge lines to use, and it's really one of the only ones I use. You know, for multiple reasons. One probably being that's the first one I ever started using, so it's kind of, you know, kind of like shopping cart. I'm hooked on shopping cart because that was the first one I've ever started using. So you know, I definitely promote Instant Teleseminar. And along the lines of the speakers, you know, if you pre-record, this allows you to be better able to get the speakers that you want, because if you do it live, then you're stuck with trying to fit somebody in on a certain date and time, and it may not be available. Whereas if you pre-record, you know, your schedule is a lot wider. So it's going to really allow you a lot more ease in booking your speakers.
Right. Have you ever had it happen where you had two speakers you booked who absolutely despise each other?
Not that I'm aware of. That's funny.
Right.
I don't think so.
Because I'm just thinking. You know, sometimes you hear that that folks will just refuse to work with somebody, or they refuse to be on a telesummit or be on a stage because somebody else who is on their stage. So what would happen if you confirm both of them? And you didn't find out until afterwards that there was this big rivalry and one refuses to be in the same place as the other, which, you know, I think is being very short-sighted, because, I mean, I have from time to time shared stages or shared telesummits with people I couldn't stand, but that doesn't mean I'm going to back down myself, and I'm not going to ask them to back down.
No, I mean,
I don't see it as a zero-sum game. That's just me, though, but others might.
If you're a professional, you're not going to be like that. You're going to put your petty differences aside.
Right.
on a telesummit, you know, something like that came across my way, I would first say, well, look, you know, we're going to put you on opposite days. So,
right.
you know, one person may be on day two and the other person may be on day four
right.
or something like that. We're not going to put you on the same day. If one of them absolutely refuses, if the other one is there, I'm like, fine, you're out. I'll bring in an alternate.
Okay.
You know, I don't have time to play with petty high school garbage, you know.
Nice.
Leave this stuff in high school. This is why, and this is something that we'll get to a little bit later, but one of the things that I recommend is when you're gathering your speaker list, if you're doing a 15 speaker summit, get 20 to 25 names because you're going to have people say no, you're going to have people drop out and fall off the face of the planet, and then you're going to get stupid stuff like this where they don't want to play nice. You know what? Fine. I don't need you. I'll bring in somebody else who wants to play nice.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's always been, you know, my philosophy too is, you know, I have like, you know, clients who hate each other. I have people I speak with who can't stand each other where they're enemies in the marketplace or enemies personally, what have you. And my message to all parties in all cases is I will associate with everybody who gives me any good reason to. I will not mention you to the other person or vice versa. If they try and start up talking about you, I'm going to tell them to back off because I'm just not going to go
mm-hmm.
there. And between the two of you, if one of you makes me choose, the other one wins.
I mean, you know, last time I checked, I graduated from high school a long time ago, and I kind of left that stuff there. I don't have
right.
time for those games. And one of the problems that I see is that people want to coddle their speakers. Because they feel like those speakers are doing them a favor. And in a way, they kind of are,
right.
Especially if they're bigger names, you know, because those are name draws. You know, we want to use those almost like a loss leader. But if they're not bigger names, we're doing them a favor, too, because we're giving them exposure. We're giving them a way to potentially put hundreds and possibly thousands of people on their list that they wouldn't normally have and position themselves as an expert. So, you know, it's a two-way street, and if that speaker doesn't want to play nice, they, I don't, go, be gone. I'll bring in somebody else who is happy and welcome and grateful for the opportunity.
Sure. And that's what I think everybody needs to be aware of, and I'm glad you went there, is that while your speakers are doing, you're doing a great thing for your speakers in terms of helping deliver them the exposure and the cross promotion to other people's market, you know, at the same time, that does kind of work both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they also need to be aware that, you know, everybody has rights and responsibilities when it comes to these things. So when you see people host telesummits and they get the idea of, oh, I'll do this myself, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see there? I mean, I think we could already probably name about 26 of them just based on the 27 minutes we spent together so far. But why don't you lay some on me here?
I try to nail it down into, you know, broad categories.
Right.
The first one is trying to launch too soon.
Right.
I say give yourself a good 3 months. Of preparation time before you
right.
want to go live. You know, people want to do this in 30 days, and there's no way. You'll
right.
you'll drive yourself crazy. Poor speakers, either bad speakers or just, you know, poor quality, basically. Trying to do it all themselves
yeah.
and not knowing what they're doing. That's one of the biggest ones, because then you end up with all the technical snafus and nobody knows how to fix it.
Right.
Selling their replays too high is another big one. It used to be when telesummits first came out that we could get away with selling the replays for $97, $147. But because telesummits have kind of become saturated, you have to price your replays realistically.
Right.
And then I'm just having unrealistic goals, saying, well, you know, I'm going to do this telesummit, I'm going to make $10,000 off of it, off my very first one, and I'm going to build my list by 50,000 people. Yeah, chances are probably no, you're not. Unless you have some really good people in your pocket, chances are that's just not going to happen. So those are my top mistakes that I see. There's a ton of others, little piddly ones, but those are the top ones. You know, also a poor website. When I vet speaking engagements for some of my clients that I book speaking engagements for, one of the things I look for is professional looking website. If your website looks like it was done by somebody who you know, is like in eighth grade, then chances are I'm going to tell my client, no, this is not a good fit for you, because you have to be very aware of their brand.
Right.
And you're representing them and their brand. So you need to have a very professional looking website and copy. Make sure the copy is good. And please, God, look for typos. Please look for typos. If you're not a good editor, have somebody edit it for you.
I know. We do the best we can, but things sometimes slip by. I think you raised a lot of really good points here, just things to be aware of and some of the big mistakes we see people making. I mean, I think to me the biggest mistake would be trying to do this all on your own, because there is just so much to doing one teleseminar. This is like putting 15 teleseminars and doing them all in 1 week. I mean, so take that and multiply it by 15, plus add a constant urgency factor. And there's going to be, you know, a lot of things to it. Now, the reason why we do telesummits is because the payoff is just that good. I mean, you spoke to me about one person whose telesummit process you managed that got 3,000 new subscribers to their list. I see people spending thousands and thousands of dollars on trying to do Facebook advertising, worried their entire campaign is going to get shut down for no reason, only to get 30 opt-ins out of it and pay $4 a piece for those opt-ins. And meanwhile, here we are using existing resources, leveraging everybody's in marketing's innate need to gain more exposure and cross-promote across different markets, and potentially getting many, 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 many times those opt-ins. So I just wanted to point out that there's some of the many benefits of doing telesummits. Now, what are some of your top recommended tips? I know we're moving pretty briskly here, and I have a few questions on the back end, but for those who are watching here or listening, we're right at the halfway mark. So I think this would be a great time to sort of start to segue and tell us, what are some of the top recommended tips for someone who wants to put together a telesummit that actually works?
Plan early. That's my number one top tip. Plan early. Take time in the front end to really plan this out. Sit down, think about what it is you really want to accomplish. Why do you really want to do this? What is driving you to do this? Write this out. Get a piece of paper and write this out. This is what my goals are. This is what I hope to accomplish.
Right.
And then, start. This is who my target is. Who is your target? You need to get very clear on who your target is, so that you can write your marketing copy to your target. So you need to get very clear. Who is my target? What are their pain points? What do I hope to solve with bringing these experts into them? And then, just give yourself a good 3 months' time to really get all the pieces put together before you launch it. Really do your research on your speakers. If they don't have any places where you can go to listen to how they've interviewed before, then do a pre-interview call with them. Get them on the phone and really talk to them and make sure that they're going to be a good quality of speaker. Need to, especially if you're doing an hour long. An hour can go by pretty quick, but it can also go by very slow if you have a bad guest. You know this. I know this from when I used to have my radio show. You're just looking at the clock going, oh my God, I still got 20 minutes and nothing else to talk about. What am I going to do? So you really want to make sure you have good quality speakers, which is another one of my tips, is really spend some time on those speakers. You need to make sure you find more than the number you want. So like I said, if you're doing a 15-speaker telesummit, make sure you get at least 20 names.
Right.
So you can fill in the no's and you can have some on the back burner in case somebody drops out or flakes out or whatever. And you gotta give them. You gotta be tough with them. Like we talked about a little bit, you can't really coddle your speakers. Tell them these are the requirements. Now I've seen people want to have their speakers sign a contract. I don't think a contract is necessary. I think that's kind of silly. But you're never gonna take them to court and say, well, they didn't send out this email on this day because they said they would. They signed it right here, and it's just never gonna happen. So just throw that one out the window.
Right.
But you still need to be very clear in what their role and responsibility is. So when you're talking to them, you need to just be very clear. Tell them, I expect you to promote And, word of caution here, the bigger the name, the less they're going to promote for you. They may put a blurb in their newsletter. They may pop something on social media. Those bigger names, if you can get them in, those are your loss leaders, like I called them earlier. Those are your name draws. So they may not promote for you. Everybody wants the big names because they think, ooh, they've got a big list and they're going to bring thousands of people. Well, chances are they probably won't. But, you know, expect them. Tell them what's expected of them. So you expect them to send one or two emails and, you know, a couple posts out on social media. This is the date that you expect to have all their material by. And here's their list of all their material. You need their bio. You need their headshot. You need to know what their topic is and their questions. You need to know what their bonus gift is. What is the link that people can go and sign up for that bonus gift?
Right.
Are they doing a special offer? What is it? How do people get that? What I recommend, what I'm actually, this is something new that I'm starting to do with all my telesummits, is create a page on your website that's a form, you know, kind of like we do for the Business Creators Radio Show.
Right.
You have a form, and you have to fill out this form of all the stuff that they need.
Right.
And they have to submit that form. That does a couple of things. One, it saves you from millions of emails trying to figure out where all their stuff is, and it's going to help keep things organized because all their answers are in one spot.
That's very true too, and it takes away a lot of room for interpretation. See, what we found has worked very well with that process is it also puts something on documentation so they understand their rights and responsibilities. Because
yes.
In order to be able to submit the form, they have to check off the box where they understand that there's a share and share alike agreement. But if they share it outside of our channels, like they decide they want to take our interview on the Business Creators Radio Show and put that inside one of their products, they have to put the unedited version. They can't chop it up and make it look like I did a special interview just for their product. They have to say, this was my interview with the Business Creators Radio Show.
Right.
And they have to spell out where that episode came from. And I assume the same thing as well. I can't just pretend like I've suddenly created a product. I also assume the responsibility that anywhere I use these recordings, that I represent them as having been Business Creators Radio Show episodes. But in my case, why wouldn't I?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally in your benefit to do that. So definitely, you want to have a disclaimer on there. And I agree. if you're going to give them the replays, I recommend you don't give them the replays until 30 days after the summit is over.
Okay, tell me about this one.
What's that?
Tell me about this one. Why are we waiting 30 days?
The reason I say that is because you don't want to give them their interview, and then all of a sudden their interview is all over social media, and all these interviews are all over social media or whatever, and people have access to them. Well, they don't need your telesummit now, do they? They don't need to go buy your replays, because they can go get them for free over here.
Uh-huh.
So I always recommend tell your speakers they will have they will have access to their replay. They will be able to get it, but they cannot use it, or they can get it anytime, I guess, really, but they can't use it until 30 days after your telesummit to give you enough time to be able to continue selling the replays.
Right. My personal take on that would be to just not give it to them until 30 days up, because you have the forgiveness later rather than permission first crowd out there, or somebody might just make an honest mistake. I mean, I've seen it happen where somebody gives the thing to their assistant and it's just an honest mistake, and the assistant thought that the real request was make a still video of this and put it on YouTube.
Right.
Where that actually wasn't the request at all.
Right. I mean, they could have access to it anyway, depending on how you work it. You know, some of my hosts will let the speakers have free access to the download page.
Right.
Because they are a speaker. So they have access to it regardless. Just however you work it, just make sure that they know that they can't use it, you know, for a certain amount of time after the telesummit to give you enough time to recoup some of your costs. The biggest thing, and I'm really going to focus on the speakers a lot here, because one of your biggest success is your speakers. It's really
right.
One of the biggest factors of your success, because you're kind of counting on them, especially if you don't have a list of your own. You're really counting on them to promote and to be the reason why your list is getting built. So you really want to keep your speakers engaged. Don't book them and then not talk to them for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, because things have a way of falling off calendars. I know that whenever
exactly.
I get booked, whenever I get booked on Telesummits, even if it's something that's a month or two out, I'm hearing from them on a fairly regular basis. So
yes.
It's kind of hard for it to escape my mind. And if we're starting to get closer to the event, whether or not I have submitted my stuff or not, I mean, in most cases I have. But if ever for whatever reason I didn't get the information in or they didn't get the information, I can tell you that the decibels on that conversation, if they have this thing managed properly, get turned way up. And it's for my own good.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest successes with this one that I told you that I was really just shocked at her results, the reason why was because her speakers promoted the heck out of it.
Right.
She really kept them engaged. She was constantly emailing them. She had them all in a private Facebook group and was constantly, you know, keeping them updated. Hey, we've got the opt-in page almost done, and now it's done. Go check it out. What do you think? And, you know, she was really just keeping the excitement going.
I like this.
And you know, she had several of them that really just promoted the tar out of her summit, and that was the secret to her success.
Okay, so
I had another one.
I
had another one who... I thought, you know, I did three of them. I watched three of them all at the same time. And I had another one that I thought would do quite well. It was a very popular topic. It was business-based, and I thought it was going to do fantastic. And it actually was the poorest because we didn't keep her speakers engaged, and her speakers didn't promote very well. So your success is definitely in your speakers. So you want to keep them engaged. Don't do it alone. We've covered this one a million times already in the last 43 minutes. I'm going to say it again. Don't do it alone. It's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And you need to at least have one person. If you just hire one VA to help you with some of the technical stuff, and it's just the two of you, that's fine. But definitely don't try and do this alone. The chances are it probably won't even take off if you do.
Right.
Price your packaging reasonably and add in lots of bonuses. What I recommend is, you know, you have your freebies. So the people who opt in, they don't want to buy yet. They get their free bonuses that all the speakers are giving out. But then you want to entice them to purchase, right? So I always say keep your price point under $50 unless you're throwing in some amazing stuff in there.
Okay.
Now, I know there's some telesummits. I know the Social Media Examiner, for example, their telesummit is super high. I can't even remember. It's like $400 or something like that. But that's because, number one, they have all the top experts in the industry. You get transcripts from all of it. You get amazing stuff with all your money. So if you're having top names in your summit, then absolutely, you can definitely get away with charging more. But if you're a beginner, and, you know, most people probably are going to be beginners, keep your pricing lower.
Right.
I'd rather sell a lot of them at $47 than sell hardly any of them at $97. So
right.
You want to be reasonable. And if you are going to go up to, like, the $97 range, you want to throw in some extra stuff, maybe some extra bonuses, get some PLR products or something. And just toss some extra stuff in there that they're not going to get otherwise. So you want to make it really enticing to spend money. And then your topic is also big too. You've got to have a really juicy topic. So you need to take a look at the industry and who your target audience is, and really see what those pain points are, because you really need to hit those pain points as hard as you can to get people to come in.
Right.
Because you're going to hit those pain points in one section of your copy. And then you're going to come back in another section and say, you know, this is where it hurts, and this is how we're going to fix it. So you really need to build your summit around what's hurting people in the industry that you're really trying to target.
Right. Here's a question that was submitted by somebody who saw you on the website and knew that you were going to be on the Business Creators Radio Show. And this is something they've been trying to figure out, actually, as part of their podcast strategy in addition to their Telesummit strategy, because they're looking at growing a career for themselves as being a professional podcast guest, growing their business through being on a lot of podcasts.
Okay.
Generally speaking, across the board, I'm going to leave this open-ended because I have my thoughts on it, and I know that other people have their thoughts on it too, which may coincide or may be different. But generally speaking, what are the policies with the telesummits that your company manages with respect to the guest experts being able to pitch products and services on the telesummit?
You know, a lot of it is up to the host, but I always recommend give them like the last 5 minutes to pitch something.
Right.
And make it very clear when you're talking to the speaker, this is not a sales pitch. And this is another reason why you want to pre-record. You know, if their interview becomes a sales pitch, you need to scrap it and start over. But, you know, absolutely give them five minutes or even 10 minutes on the very end of it to promote something. And a lot of times speakers will come up with a special offer just for your audience.
Right.
So I'm all for it.
Okay. So
there's a reason. Let me say why. Cause I don't think I really talked about this yet. The reason is because there's a profit share in this, right?
Yes.
So your speakers are going to have affiliate links. So when they're promoting your summit and you're selling packages that they're promoting, they're going to get a cut. They're usually 50% of whatever you sell. On the back end, if they're selling something on your summit, you're going to get a cut too because you're going to be an affiliate of theirs. So you definitely, you know, you're going to get some extra money that way as well.
Right.
So it's kind of a win-win for both people.
Okay, so generally speaking, if you have an offer to make, you'll be allowed to do a pitch stack. I mean, obviously you have to deliver real content. This can't be just be an hour of you pitching, but you can do an actual offer. Like you could sell a course or you could offer an event, although I typically recommend a course because you want to keep these things evergreen. But, you know, there are opportunities for money to be made. And is the revenue split generally 50-50?
With regards to the replays, yes.
Okay.
That's usually 50-50. Now, with regards to whatever the speakers are, the speakers are promoting, that is kind of up to them. I mean, if you're selling a you know, $500-$600 course, you're probably not going to split 50-50. It's probably going to be more like 20%. So it's really up to the speaker what they're going to offer you. But, you know, usually on the back end, I'd say 20-30% is most common.
I better circle back to something here because you mentioned a 50-50 split on recordings. Are we talking about when we resell the Telesummit as a product, the Telesummit itself as a product, are we selling the entire Telesummit as one big product or are we selling each individual interview?
No, we're selling the entire thing as one big product. So, for example, you know, all 20 speakers for $47. And for $47, you're going to get all the downloads so that you can listen to this, you know, put it in your library, listen to it when you're driving or when you're out on the treadmill or whatever. Or for $97, you can get the speakers, all, you know, all the recordings. And, you know, if you really want to go gung-ho, you can get the transcripts, get all the transcripts done. And you're going to get all these extra cool bonuses, too. So, yeah, that's what I'm talking about with the 50-50.
Okay, great. So in other words, when we do a 50-50 of the recorded Telesummit itself, I mean, what do? Take the other 50 and divide it between all the guest presenters?
No. So the way it works is, I mean, it's based on your affiliate links. So if I'm sending out emails for your Telesummit and my people are signing up and I have five people that I've brought to your summit and they've paid for the replays, I get 50% of what those five people pay. John Doe down here, he's bringing people into your Telesummit. He's getting commissions off of what he's bringing in. So it's all based on your affiliate.
Oh, I understand now. I get it. Okay, so we're talking about the affiliate commissions available off the sale of the product. Not we're just going to split 50% of the revenue that comes in regardless of what
you sell. That would be completely insane.
I was going to say, how the heck are you going to take 50% divided by 15 and actually even want to do that level of accounting? So at the end of the day, you're probably sending out PayPal payments for like $3.84, and then most of that's eaten up in fees anyway, so it's like, why even frickin' bother? I mean, oh, God. Okay, so ultimately what I'm hearing from this is that we need to look at how we get our guest experts to promote twice. First, to get people on the list for the Telesummit itself, and second, if we choose to sell the recordings, to get them to promote the recordings available as a course.
Yeah, you can do it that way. Most of the time what we do is just get the speakers to promote the opt-in. Because if you set it up right, once they hit submit for their opt-in, they're going to be redirected immediately to a sales page.
Right. Oh, I see. So basically what you're doing is you're doing it as a tripwire.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, so they can opt in. They're going to go straight to the sales page, and the sales page will say buy now, or it'll say no thanks.
Yeah, it's a tripwire page, so we're not exactly talking about long form. What you're really nailing down are the benefits of pre-purchasing the recordings, and some of the reasons can be because this is the only way you're going to get to experience the replays, because this is the way you can take it with you and you can listen to it anytime in perpetuity, or if you strongly want to receive this information now but know that you cannot be available the week we're going to be running the sessions, that way, just by giving us the $47, you're a lock for receiving everything.
Especially if you do it with the model that I use. I had somebody come to me recently and she said, I attended this 21-day summit. I really liked it. It gave me the idea to do one of my own. So I want to do a 21-day summit. I said, no. I said, here's what you want to do.
Wow, 21-day summit, too much.
You want to do a 4-day summit and have 5 speakers a day.
Or that sounds better.
And have 4 speakers a day. And
that
here's
sounds
why.
Better.
21 days, that means you get 1 speaker per day. You get 24 hours chance to listen to that speaker again. You're not going to sell diddly squat.
Right.
You do it this way, there's no way people are going to sit and listen for 4 or 5 hours a day. They're almost forced to have to buy the replays in order to get, they may make sure that they listen to the ones that they want, but they're almost going to have to buy the replays in order to listen to all the good content.
Yeah, because I can't think the last time that I had 4 hours a day to just listen to teleseminars. I mean, sometimes when I have to record 4 episodes of the Business Creators Radio Show in one day, I have to cancel the rest of my appointments because just from having to be fully engaged for 4 hours and what that does to my energy, I just can't do anything else. I mean, I may even have to go so far as I have to reschedule deliverables on my consulting projects because I just can't do it that way. Now, on the other hand, this also goes to your point, is that's the way I sometimes like to schedule my radio show interviews. I like to get 4 or 5 in the can all at once. Then I know I can ride for a few weeks, not have to worry about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to make kind of a time-specific statement, but this is going to be basically evergreen. I know this week, you have me down for 4 pre-recordings of episodes of the Business Creators Radio Show, and it's like, wow.
And I'm not done.
but the good news is except for 1, they're all on 1 day.
Yeah.
So that day, I know I'm just not getting a heck of a lot else done. And in fact, I took that opportunity to move a couple other appointments into that same day because I know I'm going to be no good for thinking or projects or anything like that. So I'll just make that a phone day.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's also what we need to think about when we're planning the telesummits is we also, when we're pre-recording our guest experts, just like we're going to be putting them out to the audience, 4 or 5 a day. We also want to be scheduling them 4 or 5 a day. The sooner the better. Does that sound about right?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, so you definitely want to get them, 2, 3, 4 days in a row and then have just, bulk them up on those days.
Right. So here's another question that comes from the audience. Let's say that you get somebody who's going to be a guest expert, and this is actually the last question we're going to have time for because I want to give you a couple minutes at the end. Let's say somebody comes on as a guest expert for your telesummit, and although you've laid down the rules that, this has to be like 80% content and then you can do a 10-minute pitch at the end or what have you, they spend the entire interview just doing nothing but pitch.
Can it? You tell them absolutely no.
Okay.
Either we have to redo the whole interview, or I'm going to have to find another speaker.
I knew that was pretty captain obvious, but I really wanted our audience to hear
that. Yeah, you don't want to – if you toss in a sales pitch, you're going to just completely demolish your entire summit.
Right.
You're just going to completely water it down with that one interview, and people are going to get turned off. Especially if it's like in the beginning – if it ends up being one of your first speakers, that kind of sets the tone for the whole summit. So people are going to be like, oh, my God, is the whole summit going to be a sales pitch?
This one's a pitch fest. Do I really want to even stick around and find out with the rest of them? And especially if they paid for the recordings. I had this happen to me one time on the Business Creators Radio Show, but we had somebody come on as our guest, and it seemed like the entire interview was just nothing but them pitching, and I stopped the interview, and this is why I'm so glad we pre-record these, and I said, look, we have to start over because this is not your platform for you to pitch your products. And they said, well, I'm just using this as an example of what I teach. And I said, no, that doesn't quite work that way. I'm not plain plum stupid. I wasn't born yesterday.
Right.
So you either have to take a deep breath and prepare for me to start this over from scratch right now, as something that is going to be educational, and I'll give you a few minutes at the end to give people your free special download like all the other guests, or else we're just going to have to cancel this and I'll move on to somebody else. You have 30 seconds to decide.
And if you're 5 to 10 minutes in the interview and you can tell, oh my God, they're just going to pitch this whole thing, stop them. They may not even be realizing that's what they're doing. You may have to kind of educate them a little bit. But, you know, definitely just can it. You don't want to use an interview.
Right. I mean, I've had it happen every so often where guests on the Business Creators Radio Show surprise me by saying, oh, and if you go to this link right now and use this coupon code, you can get my course for just $47. And sometimes they sneak one in on me, and most of the time, I'll allow it as long as they have been so overwhelmingly kick-ass with the content they've been delivering. I might let them sneak one in, but usually not too happy about it. And if they were counting on me to send a bunch of emails out saying, oh, my God, look what they revealed on my podcast episode, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. But if I don't feel there's an overwhelming balance, I may, without even telling them, just edit that out.
Right.
In fact, there's a whole bunch of them that never made it to air because we just edited it out.
Yep.
So that's what you need to be aware of if you even try and sneak in something on somebody. Just don't do it. Just take a few minutes, you know, whether you're a guest or you're a host, and just get absolutely clear what the expectations are, because rather than try and slip one in, you might find out that you have a greater opportunity to pitch than you thought you did.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, if you deliver awesome content, people are going to be going to check you out anyway.
Right. That's also very true. So we are at the point, Tracy, where we have 3 minutes left, exactly 3 minutes. Let me turn over the floor to you, and you tell us how you help business creators like our listeners get more out of this.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, what my team does with regards to sell telesummits is we take over the entire project for you.
Right.
So I'm your project manager. I create the timeline, and I do everything. Pretty much all you have to do is show up and do the interview.
Right.
You know, soup to nuts. We do, you know, we'll do all the web pages. I will help you find the speakers. I have a good database of speakers myself in a lot of different areas. You know, once we book the speakers, I take over from there. And so really all you have to do is just show up to the interview and, you know, just kind of keep in contact and keep your speakers engaged. We'll handle all the technical stuff. I'm there to consult with you every step of the way. If you have a question, you're stuck, you don't know what to do, you know, my host comes to me and they're like, what do I do in this situation? And I'll tell them, this is what you do.
Right.
So right. I'm there to hold your hand the entire step of the way, because it's a long, scary process, but it's so worth it in the end. It really is.
Oh, I understand. And near the beginning of our episode, I said that we would wait till the end to have you give people your interesting URL with the three S's in it. So why don't you lay that on us now?
All right. It's Business Solutions, plural, made simple. So it's Business Solutions with an S on the end, madesimple.com.
Yep. So I see where the three S's are. B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S-S. Business
yep.
Solutions Made Simple. And I'm going to remind everybody listening that all of our guest experts have profiles on businesscreatorsradioshow.com, and you can check out their links to their website and their social media profiles so you can engage as you see fit. So, Tracy Osborne, thank you so much for being with us today. I know that this is a very unique episode, and we've been looking for a way to get you out from behind the producer studio and out into behind the mic, and I'm so glad we had the opportunity to do this today.
Yeah, me too. I've enjoyed it. Thank you, Adam.
Absolutely. And for everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com and on iTunes. Do a search for Business Creators Radio Show. where we help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing. Till next time, have a great day. Take care.